The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged them that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Early this past Monday morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. But it wasn't because I couldn't sleep. And it wasn't because one of my kids was awake. I had set my alarm for 3 a.m. And unlike most mornings when I try to figure out how many times I can afford to hit snooze before dragging myself out of bed, last Monday, I leapt out of bed with a spring in my step, excited that the day had arrived. I got ready and left my house while everyone was still asleep, making it to the airport in time to board a flight to St. Louis. To rendezvous at the airport with two people I'd never met, only to join over 100 more people at a prearranged site in downtown St. Louis. No, I wasn't competing on a reality show or running away to join a secret society. Last week in St. Louis was the annual conference for Young Clergy Women International. This organization, known in shorthand as YCWI, is an organization started in 2006 as a way for the youngest ordained clergy women to address the unique experiences, the challenges and joys of being a clergywoman under 40. It has been a source of support and encouragement for me in the last couple of years since I joined, a place to ask questions, problem solve, share resources for ministry, to have conversations about the intersections of ministry and the wider world, and to participate in subgroups of those with similar ministry contexts and/or life circumstances. Young clergy women, or YCWs, with young children, single revs, YCW rectors, rural YCWs, YCWs doing doctoral studies, etc. I think there are 58 subgroups to date. This was the first YCWI conference I had attended, and I knew before I even left the airport in St. Louis that it was going to be different from any conference I had ever attended. I had made arrangements before the trip to meet up with two other YCWs whose flights arrived around the same time as mine, to share a ride from the airport to the hotel together. And even though they were total strangers, conversation flowed easily the entire way to the hotel. Throughout the week, I saw women all over the conference from opposite sides of the country talking like the oldest of friends. Women laughing together, crying together, despite having met that very week. By the time some of these women and I took an Uber to a movie the last night of the conference, when the Uber driver asked us toward the end of the ride how many years we had known each other, he flat out did not believe us when we told him that it had been 2 days. Because there was an immediate connection with these other women because of our shared experience. We feel drawn to those who are most like us because we feel we have so much in common. There's so much to talk about when we think that our lives are so very much alike. It's not a new idea to most of you that shared experience has the ability to connect us with one another in ways much more deeply and much more quickly than we might otherwise expect. But there is a flip side to this tendency to seek out those who are most like us. And it's something that YCWI has become increasingly aware of, something we talked a lot about at the conference last week. When we only seek out those we think are like us, we are, whether intentionally or unintentionally, closing ourselves off from those we think are different. As YCWI has grown, our lack of racial diversity has become increasingly obvious. There are some women of color in our group, but not nearly enough to reflect the full diversity of young clergy women in the wider world. This is not something that was done intentionally or with the design of being an exclusive organization. YCWI was started by a handful of friends who served in mainline churches in the northeastern United States. It was initially called the Young Clergy Women Project, and it spread mostly by word of mouth to friends and colleagues and grew outward from there. The organization has grown significantly since those early days, but the informal word of mouth growth from those original founders meant that in many cases, it was other white mainline Protestant clergy women who were being recruited. The organization reached a turning point in the last year as YCWI had over 1,600 active members, with an increasingly present international membership, though mostly from Canada and the UK. This growing international population led to the name change to Young Clergy Women International, and with this change, a new mission and commitment for the organization, a shift from being a small group of friends with shared experience to an organization in which all young clergy women could find a space to share their experiences, to offer support, to challenge and inspire one another. Living into this change means that we have some work to do. It will be necessary to recognize the patterns in place that have gotten us here, how they might have fallen short, and the ways in which we have implicitly and perhaps even explicitly made women of color and women from other parts of the world feel unwelcome in the organization. That's our work of repentance that lies ahead of us. And then we have to be willing to go to those who may not currently feel welcome and invite them. Simply saying we're welcoming and expecting them to come will not be enough. It will require going to those who are not currently part of YCWI, sharing what we love about it, and inviting them to experience it too. It means listening to people about what they need, and even being willing to make some changes. That is our work of reconciliation. It won't be easy work, but it's necessary work. We spent our time at our conference this week naming the reality of our membership and the desire to change that. Not because we feel guilty and want to feel better. Not to check a box or achieve some superficial appearance of diversity, but because we truly believe that we're simply not whole without our international sisters. and sisters of color. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes about people who could not be more different from each other, being brought together by Christ, dividing walls being broken down, and they are knit into one body. Reconciliation is possible because of Christ. And here's why. Jesus had a body. And we have bodies. In fact, no matter how different we think another person is from us, we share the most fundamental part of our existence in common. We each have a body. As biblical scholar Caroline Lewis explained at our conference this week, when God took on flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, God showed us that bodies are a holy dwelling place for God. The incarnation revealed the fact that God dwells within bodies. This was true in a special way for Jesus, but it's not limited to him. God has dwelt in bodies since God breathed the animating, life-giving spirit into the first body formed from dust in the Garden of Eden. The Hebrew word ruach used in Genesis means both breath and spirit. When each of us was born, we gasped for air and were filled with life-giving, animating spirit, and then let out that first big scream. And the sacrament of baptism recognizes the presence of the Spirit in each person baptized and serves to remind all gathered that we are bodies filled with God's Spirit too. When Jesus revealed our true nature as bodies filled with God's Spirit, and when we are reminded of this fact at each baptism, we are faced with the truth that God's Spirit dwells within other people too. This gives us two things in common with other people, no matter how different we think we are. No matter how much else seems to be different, we have bodies, and God dwells there. It's so much easier to connect with people when you know you have something in common. And these two things give us so much. Imagine how different YCWI would look with this as the starting point. We are all people who have bodies, people in whom God dwells, who happen to live out this identity as young clergy women. What would it look like for this parish if we started in that same place? We are people who have bodies, people in whom God dwells, who feel connected to God through the worship style of the Episcopal Church. If this were our starting point, how might our community be different? Who would be here? What would we be doing differently? And when our community doesn't reflect the diversity of the wider community, we have to do some of that work of repentance and reconciliation. What is it that we communicate about our identity and who is welcome here, either intentionally or unintentionally? And how might that need to change? We are a community that seeks to welcome, but what would it be like to be a community that invites, that is willing to go outside those doors to let people know that they are welcome and wanted here, that we are not whole without them? If people that haven't been here yet are not familiar with the Episcopal tradition, then what do we have to say about it and why it matters to us that might encourage them to come and see? What do we love about the way we worship? Why do we want others to experience it the same way? What is it that's at the heart of what we do here? And then what is it that we church nerds call adiaphora? So the extras, the frills, the things we may like but aren't essential. Are we willing to explore how to be an inviting congregation? how to worship in a way that helps people to know that God dwells within them. For this is what we all have in common. Paul writes that in Christ we are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. That's a lot that we have in common with one another and with those who have gone before. And Paul goes on, in Christ, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. When we are joined together by Christ, when we connect with those people we think are so different from us, yet with whom we share our humanity, with those who bear the divine spirit just as we do, when we are joined together, we become a dwelling place for God. Like the tabernacle of the Hebrew scriptures, God's presence is here. Not because of the building, but because we are here. We can experience God's presence in our being joined together and when we are reconciled with one another. How much more will we know and understand about God when we open ourselves to the ways that God is revealed in those who are different from us? We might understand a little more about who God is through our brothers and sisters we don't know yet.